Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Judy Martin of Anita and World Traveler. Good morning to you, Judy.
Good morning, LaVon.
And you've just been fairly recently on another kind of trip into the world, learning and so on. We're going to talk about gypsies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you and I talked about that, that's what we're going to talk about. I'm thinking, I have these pictures come into my mind. Didn't you when you first started this?
Yes, and a lot of people have pictures from their childhood, stories they heard, very few of them true. A lot of people who travel in Europe come home with stories about gypsies, and of course, there are long-standing stereotypes that we all are aware of.
You know, I think I got most of mine from movies, you know, the musical, colorful, happy, not the more negative picture that maybe some people have.
And just like any stereotype, there's a basis in truth of all those stereotypes. And one very prominent stereotype is musicians. And that has a lot of truth to it, too.
All right. Well, that's a good one to have, I guess. Yes.
Absolutely.
But I know you learned so much more. Why did you do this? How did you get started, Judy?
Well, it started when my sister and I visited Holocaust museums in Prague and Budapest. And I don't know where I was during world history in high school, but I suddenly learned that the gypsies in Europe were targeted by Hitler for extermination, and could be up to 2 million were killed. Many were put in the prison camps and so on. So then when we got home, I discovered that the United Methodist Women's study for the next 2 years would be on the gypsies of Europe, or as they now, many of them prefer to be called, Roma or Romani. So, of course, I took that as a sign. I love to teach. And so I determined to learn more about it and took a couple of trips to prepare.
So let's talk a bit about those trips. We're going to talk more about what you learned, but let's talk a bit about the trips. You did a couple of them. You know, what kind of the basis? Where did you start and kind of how did that progress?
Well, there are many, many gypsies in Europe, probably 6 million or so. There are a million in this country, actually, but mostly in Eastern Europe. They are very much discriminated against, so they remain very poor, almost totally unemployed, and a big problem for Europe. The European Union named 2005 to 2015 the decade of the Roma, trying to solve some of their problems. So I went to Bulgaria twice, and then to Serbia and Slovakia, and actually met some gypsies, and particularly in gypsy churches.
Mm-hmm. So are there groups, you say, you know, they're trying to work on solving some of the challenges with gypsies. When you, are there groups there? Are there organizations, I guess is the right word, who are working with gypsies?
There are gypsy organizations, Roma organizations, where they are taking control themselves. They have a congress. They now have a seat and observant status in the United Nations. And there are many organizations of Roma themselves who are working to improve their lives. Plus, a lot of Europeans are involved. But it has not been easy, and it has not been terribly successful.
But it would seem like when they are involved themselves, that's going to be more successful than somebody else saying, this is what you have to do.
Absolutely. They're very creative, very intelligent, very savvy people, and they certainly can take charge of their own destiny. But they have the problem that we often see with many minority groups, like Native Americans, American Indians, where people want them to give up their own culture and fit into our mold and be just like us, and they have always refused to do that.
Well, they have a long history of culture that, you know, we all have difficulty changing habits. Now we're talking about thousands of years of culture that we expect people to change.
Absolutely. They originated in India and Pakistan, actually. Many people thought when they first saw them that they were from Egypt. So that's where we get gypsy, Egyptians. But they actually came from India. 1,000 years ago, they left India because there was a war. And gypsies have never participated in military action. They refused to fight. So they left India and began this big spread all over the world. And finally, most of them ended up all over Europe. You find gypsies of different names, different tribes, in Ireland and Scotland and Spain and France. France is always kicking them out, which is kind of pointless because they have nowhere to go. They don't have a homeland. So they have an old, old culture. Not all gypsies are the same. They don't all even want to be called Roma. They have their own names. Romani. There are lots of different tribal names. So they do have a long history.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of compared them to American Indians. Are there some other similarities there that you want to mention?
Well, the fact that there are many different branches. If we know much about American Indians, we know that the tribes, the various tribes, can be totally different. We can't just group them all together. And the same is true with the gypsies. They have their own, they had their own beliefs, their own language. Many of those have been lost. And many of the Roma today do not speak Romani anymore, or if they have their own language, they sometimes can't even understand each other, which is also true for American Indians.
So when you say some of this hasn't been carried forward, are there people in the groups who want to make sure that some of this old knowledge is carried forward?
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to be reminded of the Danes in Elkhorn who are losing their language, and there are many people who want to retain some speakers of Danish. And the same is true with the gypsies.
And again, Roma, we want to remember that, we say gypsies, but that we want to remember, you know, where they kind of start from. And the basic name, Roma, and so we're going to be using that again fairly often. Let's talk a little bit about the countries that you visited. You know, of course, your purpose was to visit churches and so on, but talk a little bit about those countries. Are they similar countries? Is the geography similar? Is the economy similar in those countries that you visited?
Well, Eastern Europe has many problems. Many of them were under communist rule until the 1990s. They all became independent then. And they're kind of around the Black Sea, so they've always been deluged by people who wanted to take them over. So they all have fairly warlike histories. And but they also have very different cultures, different languages, so they were almost totally different. But the groups that we visited were all part of churches who are trying to make new lives for themselves in a way that can retain their culture while at the same time fitting in with the modern world. And one thing they all had in common was that they are all pretty well poor and discriminated against. Many of them cannot find jobs. Their traditional occupations, metalworking, blacksmithing, that kind of thing, are no longer relevant. You know, people don't fix their pots and pans anymore. And so they were all pretty poor.
Now, another picture in my mind are those gypsy wagons, you know, and everybody kind of, they just move from place to place in their gypsy wagons. Does that happen? Are people still?
It does happen. It is very difficult for them anymore, but there are some groups that travel almost as migrant workers. They often travel following the harvests, and many of them have no other home. But many of them in cities are finding that that is not acceptable, it's not allowed, the police kick them out. So they pretty much live in slums and ghettos and just try to put something together.
Mm-hmm. Well, Judy, we're going to talk more about the study here in just a moment, because we're going to do a part two on gypsies and that study, and a little more about, I think, gypsies in the United States. So, until next time, we're going to say that if you wish to be happy and free, give up having to be right all the time.